And we are joined in the studio by Max Orr, director of the Carolina, executive director of the Carolina Public Humanities, for another round of Oh, the Humanities. Max, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. I'm a little bit crushed by the loss of my New England Patriots, but this happens. And, you know, history marches on, and we will continue to march on.
I am a Lions fan, so I have no sympathy for your five-ringed pain.
Well, you will be the beneficiary of getting our defensive coordinator, who did such a stellar job last night.
Yeah, so 41 points.
But what we understand, he'll be your coach. Yeah. Well, Aaron, it's always a pleasure to be here. And as always, I bring you a few things that happened on today's date. Today is February 5th. Interestingly enough, on November 27th, I mentioned to you it was my son's birthday. Well, February 5th is my daughter's birthday.
Happy birthday, Sarah.
She's 21 years old. And on February 5th in 1885, at the Congress of Berlin, Leopold II of Belgium was granted personal ownership of the Congo Free State. Many people are familiar with this horrible story from the book King Leopold's Ghost by Adam Hochschild, or maybe even having read Joseph Conrad's Heart of Darkness. But of course, Leopold went on to run the Congo Free State as a personal possession with rubber plantations and atrocities that have been estimated as many as 10 million killed and the horrible, horrible exploitation of the resources of Congo. Also on February 5th, on 2005, keeping with the upbeat nature of what we're talking about, I have a death day. This is the death of Nasimbe Eyadema, a name that's hard to pronounce. He was president of Togo since 1967. Mm-hmm. At the time of his death in 2005, he was the oldest, longest tenured leader of Africa. He ran a one-party state, repressive regime known for corrupt and fraudulent elections and, of course, more exploitation of the economy. So, what was interesting about this, Aaron, when I was going through these, you know, I look at these big, long lists of dates, and first thing I want to say, it was very difficult to find any dates that related to Africa. Mm-hmm. You see what we're talking about here today. And I also was somewhat disappointed that the only faces of Africa that I could mine off of that list are these two faces of either horrible colonialism or horrible corruption today. This notion that, you know, this is the dark continent of Africa. Mm-hmm. So Carolina Public Humanities has long been trying to change people's perspectives on cultures that either are stereotyped or are given a two-dimensional look. And so we're really happy to be offering a dialogue seminar this weekend, February 10th, Transitions in Africa Culture, African Culture. And I bring with me today Dave Pierre, Associate Professor of African-American Diaspora Studies, who will be giving a talk on musical traditions in the 21st century in Uganda. And also, not with us, Vicky Rovine will be giving a talk on clothing and power, centuries of African and European encounters in art and fashion. But we have Dave with us. So Dave, welcome.
Awesome.
And are you looking forward to this weekend?
Absolutely, Max. And I think it's for
that's the right answer, by the way. If you had said no, this segment would have been over real fast.
Okay. Yeah. Should I go back and say no?
No, it's fine.
Okay.
You still have to show up on Saturday, so.
Okay. No, but I'm absolutely looking forward to it. And I think it's partly because of what you're talking about. A lot of people, what they do know about Africa and specifically my country of Uganda may be only bad news. But that's not how I think about it at all. My first interest in Africa and in Uganda, where I do my research, was spawned by falling in love with the traditional music there, which I first heard on record. And it absolutely enchanted me, and I had to go there and study. And eventually I wrote a book about that music and how it is being preserved and developed in the present. So that's what I'll be talking about.
How did you first experience Ugandan music?
Well, I was in a class about African music generally, and my professor played a tape of something called Amadinda, which is a large xylophone played by two or three people at the same time. And this just blew my mind within 2 seconds of hearing the beginning of this. It's an extraordinarily subtle patterned music. Sometimes I imagine, like, if you think of like a fabric, a cloth with an extremely intricate design, perfectly balanced with all the different colors and almost mesmerizing in the way it unfolds. That's what this music sounded like to me, and it was challenging. I didn't really know where to find the beat. I didn't really know where to find the melody, but it challenged something in me that made me want to hear more and more, and here I am today. So
that's really cool. Is it something about the instrument or the nature of the performance or the style of music? Or
Well, as I say, it's a...
I'm going to be looking this up online as soon as you walk out, but now I want the preview.
It's a highly patterned music where people mix their parts. It's called interlocking, or that's what musicologists call it. But one person plays something and someone else plays their part so that it's exactly mixed in between the first person's part, which means that you can get an extremely fast rhythmic density of notes happening. And it's almost so fast that your brain can't process it the way you would ordinarily process music. But it gives you this wonderful sense of patterning. And at the same time, this isn't the kind of thing, it's a danceable music. That should always be emphasized. Music is always experienced with dance for the most part, or at least this kind of music.
Mm. Yeah, something about the, it's, you know, dancing music sounds like there's probably some joyous elements to it. And just to sort of go back to what this overarching idea, this introduction that I brought up with this session that we're having is that, you know, people have joy even in Idi Amin, under Idi Amin. People are experiencing the world in different ways. I mean, when I hear Uganda, before I knew much about Africa, I'd say Idi Amin, right? This is mm-hmm. what we remembered from the 70s. So this is a rich musical tradition that is also going on, right? Besides just what we hear about politically, economically, all of these mm-hmm. elements. And we're trying to really focus on this and this notion that culture, it can be both in dialogue with the big issues, certainly, but can also be a way of understanding, you know, another culture and another culture, another region, another area in different ways.
And a dialogue with the big issues in really complicated and complex ways, right? Like the expression of joy isn't in contrast to or a surprise in the context of Idi Amin. It's a response to Idi Amin. I remember mm-hmm. someone, I think it was Cornel West, actually, that I had a chance to speak like 12 years ago, talking about the blues in America and said that this was in many ways this sort of profound expression of joy in the face of oppression and mm-hmm. in the face of tragedy and in the face of violence and pain and poverty. And that's a really complicated way of thinking about it, but it's the joy that goes along with something that is troubling and disturbing and becomes all the more necessary for that reason.
And I think just the other point that I intend to emphasize is when we think of this word tradition, often many people think of something that was done in the past and then sort of set in stone forever and mm-hmm. then revived by museums or musicians who specialize in the past. But it's really important to understand that traditions are constantly being creatively reinvented, refurbished in response to the conditions of the time, whether those be economic conditions, social conditions, political conditions. You know, I want to emphasize when we study traditional music in the 21st century, what we mean is we're studying something that's very much of the now, not mm-hmm. a relic of the past, and something that's being refreshed on a yearly basis, really.
We're speaking with Dave Peer. You just heard him. He's a professor in the African-American Diaspora Studies Department at UNC. Going to be speaking at an event on Saturday the 10th from 9 to 12:30 in the morning, 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the FedEx Global Education Center, Transitions in African Culture, humanities.unc.edu for more information. And Dave, you just mentioned the now-ness of Ugandan music in your book is Ugandan music in the marketing era. So that's very much talking about the now, right? What constitutes the marketing
yes.
era, and how does Ugandan music transform and stay the same?
So my book focuses on a year-long event, or actually an annual repeating year-long event, which was an amateur music and dance competition, which was sponsored by a beer company, East African Breweries Limited. And to participate in this competition, musicians and dancers had to compose songs in praise of this beer called Senator Extra Lager. So they were kind of being roped in as unpaid advertisers who could sing in their local languages and dance the traditional dances that local people identified with in the various ethnicities that make their home in Uganda. So to me, that said something about how people's perceptions, how art sponsorship is changing in the present time. People no longer count upon the state to support the arts the way they might have done in the 1960s to the 1970s. The state has sort of removed itself from its responsibilities of art sponsorship, and corporations have moved in to take that over. And of course, that brings all sorts of problems because, I don't know about you, but you're in radio, so I'm sure you think about this all the time. But when people are having to praise a brand of beer with their, the traditions that they hold sacred, maybe not the most salutary trend in culture.
Right, yeah. Right. What I think is interesting about what you were saying, Dave, is that, one of the things, and I think Vicky Rovine, the other professor who's going to be coming and talking about clothing and textiles, one of the things we're also trying to rub up against and try to sort of work against is this sort of notions of primitivism that still, regardless of how much we want to say this doesn't exist, people think about dark art. They think, well, it's traditional music. And just to realize just how much, it is a market. How much Africans are agents in working with that market, both whether they're in the government or whether they're the artists. I mean, artists are making decisions about whether they want to take part in this. It has its benefits. You mentioned some of the drawbacks, perhaps culturally, but these are agents in the market, and they're deciding how they want to play their hand in the market. And it's a very, a cosmopolitan society. Mm-hmm. We especially in the world of fashion, where we were discussing, we had a meeting about our upcoming event, about, take any plane from Lagos to London, you'll be in the middle of high fashion. This is some very wealthy elements of societies. People that are very inbred, that's the word I'm looking for. You use interlocked into the market. I like that. So it's we're trying to brush up against that primitivism as well. So this is a modern market-driven idea as well. We do want to talk about colonialism. We do want to go back and talk about the effects of history and historical change on what we're going to be discussing. But we also need to think of it as the here and now, that this is something that's alive and vibrant with people who have agency.
Humanities.unc.edu is the website for Carolina Public Humanities. You can get more information on this and many other events coming up soon. But again, this is going to be on Saturday, February 10th at the FedEx Center on campus, 9 a.m. to 12:30. It's called Transitions in African Culture, a Dialogue Seminar. We're going to wrap up in a few minutes, but what else do people need to know about this event?
Well, as always, humanities.unc.
Everyone's pointing at each other here.
Humanities.unc.edu is where you can go to sign up for the event. You can also call us at 919-962-1544 for special discounts that might be available for this seminar in particular. Especially, we're interested in getting students and faculty and staff at UNC to come to this event, and they can all attend this event for free. So those are important details if you want to come. I just would like to say that one of the best things about all of our dialogue seminars, we leave a lot of room open for audience participation, and we really hope to have a good discussion. People who have been to Africa should attend. Tell us what you've experienced. People who want to go to Africa should attend to get a better sense of what they might expect.
And Dave, I want to have the same musical journey that you had. So what was the name of the instrument again?
Amadinda.
How do you spell that?
AmaDinda.
Where should people start if they are getting on YouTube? Don't get on YouTube right now because they're probably driving in your cars. Wait until you get home and then do it. But where can people find the best?
If you look online, you can find some recordings that Hugh Tracy made in the 1950s of royal music from the Buganda court. So if you look Royal Music Uganda on Amazon, that will probably be one of the first things it picks up. And these are just splendid recordings of some masters of the music from that time period. I'd recommend starting with those.
I'm looking forward to doing that. I'm looking forward to this event on Saturday as well. Again, 9 a.m. to 12:30, Transitions in African Culture. Victoria Rovine?
Rovine.
Rovine is going to be speaking on clothing and power. And Dave Pier right here talking about Ugandan musical traditions in the 21st century. Humanities.unc.edu is the website. Go there and sign up, learn more, and get the full calendar of events. Max Orr, Dave Pier, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Aaron.